You've just got to open your big mouth, don't you, Celine?
What? You too scared of hearing the truth? Well, I'm going to tell it to you anyway. I'm not taking orders from any one of you. In fact, as far as I can see it, without Braid, there is no tribe.
Welcome to Series 3, Episode 43 of Conversations on Eagle Mountain, a podcast about the tribe. I'm your host, Lance, and joining the podcast panel today is Liz.
Hello.
And Maggie.
Hey.
With episode notes done by Matt and myself. So Series 3, Episode 43, the screenplay was done by Tony Osborne. It was directed by Danny Mulheron, and the episode synopsis was read out by Lance. The Morats investigate Bray's disappearance, but not everyone is keen to get him back. Meanwhile, Ned's desire to provide for Alice sees him making demands of Ebony. Okay, so yeah, I thought, let's just jump straight into a favourite subject of mine. Alice and Ned.
So what have we got here?
Toast got a bit burnt.
No, it's great. Tea? Toast? Wildflowers?
All I could find.
Oh, they're great. Great. Look at me. I'm like the cat with the cream. Speaking of cream, there isn't any milk to have in the tea, is there?
Couldn't find a cow.
So panel, we have touched before on kind of the low self-worth Series 3 Alice has been written as, but kind of to me, it felt like there was kind of shades, even if unintentional, of like this kind of emotional abuse, manipulative relationship going on. I mean, what was your take on this scene?
Well, he definitely keeps love bombing her. That's for certain.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think we talked about last week that this has an abusive vibe to it, you know, and that it swings the pendulum of regular abusive behavior. These outbursts, violent, awful words being said, awful treatment, whether it's emotional, verbal, you know, whatever, it's abusive. And then it swings right back to love bombing, you know, and so I'm not surprised that that's the vibe you're getting because that's all I see.
It's really sad.
How do you burn that many pieces of toast? Like I get a couple pieces, but I think you get the hang of it after a while. And why would you serve the burnt pieces? Like, how do you burn every single piece of toast and think that that's what you serve to somebody? You know, if you're older than 7, I'm just trying to figure that one out.
Are we certain he is?
He gives her tea, and the flowers are hanging in her tea. Like,
yeah,
she had to pull the flowers out of her tea. That's how. It's those little details that make you wonder how much care did you put into this presentation to me? I know it's supposed to be like, oh, look at that. He tried. He gave it his best. And I'm like, that's his best? That is his best?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? He can have it back because I would rather not have that because that looks so low effort and just my bare minimum for you. That's what you're worth to me, my bare minimum. But you'll appreciate it because no one's done anything for you. You know,
For real, are we supposed to be like, oh, this is so touching. Breakfast in bed. He loves her so much. It's like, and you see the actual effort that he actually puts in. It's like, really, writers? Like, I don't get it.
Dude, bring me a bowl of cereal. You know what I mean? Like,
you might as well.
Right.
You know, something edible. You couldn't even get my tea right. Again, my plants were hanging in the tea. Come on. You know, you could have just brought me a cup of tea. That would have been a nice thing to wake up to, you know? But I don't know. There's something about this whole presentation that makes it look even worse than if he'd only done one small thing, like brought her a flower. Good morning, precious. Or here's a cuppa. I thought you'd like something hot to drink as soon as you woke up or whatever. Then this presentation, like this... Heck, just waking her up with a kiss on the forehead, like, hey, you know, is there anything you like? Like, that would have felt like more effort-based, more sincere than this tray of hazard. I don't know. I don't know. But again, I guess it makes sense for Alice to be like, oh, he tried. And I'm like, did he though?
Bare minimum. If that, yeah. Not even.
Yeah, not even a bare minimum. It's just.
No. But it's Ned, and we're not supposed to like Ned, you know? So he's just going to keep doing these things, and it's sad because it does show how insecure Alice is in who she is as a woman, you know? And this little bit of attention that he's giving to her is all it takes, and she's just like, oh, it's amazing, you know? It makes me sad. He deserves better.
Yeah.
She does. But it's like, at this point, you should be doing everything you can, doing, like, backflips, going out of your way to show us this love for Ned and Alice, this relationship, because of what's going to happen. And you're just making it worse and worse. Like, I'm going to feel nothing when that event happens. Like, what are you doing? Like, you're supposed to make this actually palatable for me, and you're not.
And it's like, if the point is that Alice has put her love in the wrong person, if that's mm-hmm. the lesson you're trying to get across, it still has to have a point. With Zandra and like Lex, for example, it was very clear that the narrative was saying about their relationship, that Zandra was putting her love into the wrong person. And there is a consequence to it when he finally truly lets her down. The story allows it to continue and carry over as Zandra has to sit with those consequences. You know, she has to learn something from it. She grows a little from the experience. So it's like, okay, I get the point of showing young people this. It's a cautionary tale. With Alice, it doesn't feel like there's a point. We're just torturing her for entertainment's sake, and nothing comes of it. Alice isn't going to grow. She's not going to learn a lesson. She's just going to be left devastated on the rocks. That's it. That's all she's going to get out of this. And it's like, so what was the point of that? You know, and I also don't think they're doing a very good job of making it clear that this is a cautionary tale. They can't figure out whether or not this is supposed to be something we root for or not root for, because they're tonally all over the place when they're doing Ned and Alice. Or it could be that just Bevan was too good of an actor for this, what they were trying to do. He is selling the moments when he has to be sincere so well.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe he wasn't. Yeah, like maybe he wasn't supposed to. Maybe he was always supposed to come across as insincere, but Bevan was just too good. So he has these moments where you're like, oh gosh, this could have been something. I don't know.
No, I was going to say, like, for all the criticisms I give Ned, Bevan himself, he's a fantastic actor. And I think they definitely should have given him a lot more to do than what they did. Like, he is a fantastic actor. They could have given
Ned, especially if they have him, you know, paired with Alice. Like, given more time for this kidnapping scenario, like he could have been worked on as a character. He could have had the growth. They nipped it in the bud, and that was it.
If they had more leaned into making him more of a tragic figure, you know, he doesn't have to be likable to be empathetic,
right?
You know, right. It didn't seem to want to do that with him.
Sabine, he needs to come talk about Ned.
Honestly, I feel like every episode is a Ned episode.
At this point, it is.
It's like we talk about Ned more than we talk about the Guardian, and it's the whole Guardian thing that got us here in the first place.
True.
And what's that supposed to mean?
Nothing. While he's away, someone needs to make the decisions.
Who? You?
No. I think it should be Pride.
Pride?
Yes.
He's the one who drove Bray away.
Besides, he's not even part of the tribe. Might as well ask Luke.
Or better yet, why don't we just go downstairs, open up that cage, and ask the Guardian to take over?
So yeah, panel, what did you make of Celine's opinions and the state of the tribe? And kind of, like, following on from that, as much as we do love Casey, it's kind of weird how he waited a whole morning until we informed everyone of what happened to Bray.
Did he not know they were all looking for him? I'm so confused. The whole thing is Celine, you know? She's got some good points, though. You know, without Bray, there really isn't a tribe. But
I know that some of the characters are coming across as annoying in this scene.
Yeah.
But I have to say this. I still think it's a very good scene. All I can really say is that everything everyone's saying makes sense for them to be saying it.
Yes.
You know, like, whether or not I agree with Celine, I can't deny it makes sense that Celine is saying these things, that she feels this way, or that, you know, May feels the way she does, or Alice or Tysan or whoever. Like, everything they're saying is fully in character. So I couldn't really nitpick it. You know, I was like, whether or not I agree with anything you're saying, I can't deny that you should be saying what you are, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was actually a good argument that they're fractured. They definitely come across as fractured. It is the result of what they've been doing. And so I was like, okay, yeah. I mean, they do kind of suck, absolutely, but they always have. So
this is not new information.
Right. It's not new information that you don't want these guys to be your saviors if you go missing.
Yeah.
Like, that is
clear.
Well established. I actually found I was looking at it and I was like, oh, these guys are getting on my nerves. But I was like, other than that, though, why are they getting on my nerves? Like, is it because they're out of character or because what they're saying doesn't make sense? And I'm like, nah, I guess it's just they are annoying. But other than that, I can't nitpick them being who they are, I guess. Like, all right. Then again, my bar has dropped quite a bit.
Yeah, drastically.
So I just don't expect greatness. I am just looking for competency in the writing.
Ew.
That's where I am. Like, okay, this is a competently done scene. And at least the character work is definitely sufficient. Like, okay.
it does make sense for Casey now, you know, till the next day. Like, it's Casey. It slipped his mind, you know? He had that pony he had to go show May, and that was more important. And, oh yeah, by the way.
I mean...
it does seem a little strange that he didn't say anything. I thought at first he didn't say anything. It was just because he happened to see Bray drunk, and he knew he got kicked out of the bar. And if that's all Casey had seen, I could understand him waiting until Bray still hasn't come home to mention that there might be a problem. Because you could just chalk it up to Bray having done something really embarrassing and is going to stagger his way home. And, you know, you don't have to be telling everybody his business. He had a bad day. He fell, you know, he had to get it out of system. But
yeah,
it's the fact that he did see that Bray was in danger and didn't bother to tell anybody that I find a little
weird. Yeah. It just seemed like I did see him. No, by the way, he was there.
But I guess we can be fair. He didn't see the Mozzies around Bray. He just knew that the Mozzies had been in the pub or the bar, wherever they were. And he did know that Bray got kicked out. He got distracted. Maybe it wasn't until Bray didn't return home that Casey put those pieces together and be like, oh crap, that means they probably caught up with him. You know, So, I mean,
I can ultimately give him a pass because Casey does so he does everything so well. It's like, okay, it slipped your mind. It's fine.
I see. Yeah. And then that's probably his right. He didn't even probably think about, you know, he could be in danger until they said he's still not back.
And then it's like, oh, crap.
Yeah. You know, he's seen Lex enough, you know, stumbling back drunk.
And it's like, well, oh, crap. The last time I saw him, he was barely standing. Yep. And there were people there who wanted to get him. They might have followed him out. He was vulnerable. Maybe that's why he's not back.
Yeah.
So I better tell you guys that he could be in danger. You know, I didn't think he was. I thought he was just being embarrassing and I was going to keep that to myself.
Yeah.
Never get that out of my head. Are you doing that to Casey? Never.
Such a good scene.
It's perfect. You know, it's like, yep.
Like, this is supposed to be a tragic bottom of the barrel for him. Stop making us laugh.
Exactly. I'm supposed to be feeling something, and all I'm doing is giggling.
Yeah, you know what it was. Dwayne was like, I never get to have fun as this character.
Yeah.
My entire personality is angst. So I am milking this scene. I'm going to have a great time in this scene.
Oh, man.
I mean, because it is Celine, I have to also ask the question, was she defending Bray so much because of her old feelings for him or because he's the leader?
Probably both.
That's part of it, absolutely.
She's deep too feelings passionate for him. Yeah, she's passionate about this person. She cares about him deeply. She used to be in love with him. You know what I mean? That doesn't go away. Like, she has an ardent defense for him. And I do believe it's both, like, as friend, as past lover, you know, like, everything. It's like, he's super important to me, and I'm not going to listen to you people trash his name, you know, or I'm not going to let you get away without taking accountability for the role you played and him being in the headspace he is clearly or was when he left. And she's not wrong in that. They all do have to take some accountability. And I liked what she said to Tysan.
Oh, yeah.
Because Tysan, they're taking it so far with her that her only concern in the freaking world is the Guardian. Mm-hmm. You know, again, her loved ones don't count. You know, she got to the point where she was about to choose a Guardian over a husband. Like, it's like, and we haven't been given a reason for this.
Yeah.
You know, like, come on. She doesn't care who disappears, who goes missing, as long as the Guardian's safe. And all she does is give these platitudes to everyone. And like, you got to give us a reason for this behavior.
Yeah, give us something. Yeah.
You got to give us something so that we can at least, we don't have to agree with her, but we need to at least understand why she is so ardently defending this sicko. Like, come on. You guys weren't close for that.
All life is sacred.
They weren't close for that long. I'm sorry. They weren't. Their relationship was pretty icky for most of it before she started feeling sorry for him, you know, and then she turned the empathy up to 11, you know, and I'm like, you need to give us a reason for this, because she's literally discounting her leader at this point, doesn't care what's happened to him, because the only thing she cares about is the Guardian.
And yeah, just to finish that off, is anyone surprised that May nominating Pride for leader?
No.
No. Jeez.
I mean, I was like, really? That's so obvious.
I was like, there, very subtle, maybe, very subtle.
There was one point she did make that at least I understood why. Like, okay, she's got a point to make. He's the only person that everybody trusts, and he is the only person outside of Bray who seems to actually be trying to find Amber and Trudy. And I love the fact that nobody disagrees with that.
It's true. They're like, yeah, you're right.
You're right. None of us really care.
He is the only one actually actively trying to find Amber.
I was like, that's wild. Not a single person was like, hey, you know, I want to find her too, okay? He's not the only one who cares. Like, nobody said anything.
Too.
Silence.
Like, yeah, she's got a point. None of us are invested in getting them back, so.
That's so sad. Oh my god, this tribe.
They're the worst.
You said it. They are the worst tribe ever.
Even in the fact that when May says it, she's even including herself as one of the people who isn't trying to get the girls back. Like, that's crazy.
At least she's honest. I will give her that.
She don't care either. She's like, look, none of us care except him and Bray. All right? So.
Wow.
And one of them is gone.
And everyone just sat there like, yeah, she's right. That's a pro for Pride as leader, I guess. Even Celine didn't say anything to that.
No!
Nobody.
She'd be like, wait a sec.
Care? Nope, nobody. Everyone.
Section.
We all agree on this point.
The only time they agree.
None of us give a crap if we get them back.
Oh, we're the worst.
God. Yeah.
Where's season one? Come on.
Keep the dream alive, my butt.
What dream?
And it's so crazy, after everything these guys have gone through, that they were closer when they first met.
Yeah!
And had no reason to really trust each other, but they had to put their faith in somebody, anybody, you know? If they were gonna make it, they had to make it work together. And you watch them struggle, these young kids doing that, putting hope above everything. Even they had every reason not to hope. And yet here, after everything they have gone through, they aren't closer. They aren't stronger. They are more divided than they have ever been, as if they had never come together as a tribe.
Yeah, I don't, that's the thing. The things they have been through, how is the bond so loose? Like, how has this happened?
They almost all died together.
Yeah. Died together. Like, left the whole city together, find the antidote together, fought the Chosen, like, they've done so much together, like,
they've lost loved ones, like, they've buried loved ones together, and it doesn't matter. It's
none
like
this matters.
It's like having an apartment in a complex. You really love the apartment, but you hate the complex. But geez, you're never going to find a great kitchen like that again, and rents are so high, so that's why you stay in the complex. Even though you hate it there, you hate all the rules, you hate your neighbors. That's how they behave. Mm. Like, I just have a really good flat in the mall and I'm never going to find a place as good. So I'll put up with this awful neighborhood and the people who live here. That's how they behave.
Yeah.
I got a sweet deal. I got rent control, man. I'm not going anywhere.
Oh, sad. Really?
Nobody's looking for Jack either.
They were like, ah, he left. Who cares? He left.
Well, what?
No, none of us missed him anyway, so. Oh, well. God, no. That's how they're acting.
We're glad he escaped, but poor Jack. These people don't deserve you.
No, they don't. Just go be happy, Jack. Please.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sorry you left the way you had to. You know, I'm sad you left with a heartbreak, but trust me.
You are better off.
Yep.
Joy and prosperity will come to you as long as you stay away. Don't ever return. Don't ever return. Go back to that chosen chick who knew how to cook.
Yeah.
So, amid all this chaos, Ebony quickly takes over.
Let's just calm down. We need to find out what's happened to him, agreed? So let's get on with it. Lex, Pride, can you get to the casino? See if you can pick up his trail.
Sure.
And the rest of you, we need to tighten up on security. Make sure the Guardian's kept shackled.
I mean, panel, Ebony's scheming. Okay, what did you make of all of it?
She's so good.
Well played.
Yeah, she's so good. She's been playing this long game.
Yep.
Now. She's biding her time, waiting for the perfect opportunity. This is it.
She has been reading the rooms. We haven't seen her scheme like this since season 2. I am proud to have her back. She slid in there so smoothly. And it was like her at her most subtle.
So smooth, yep.
You know, like just... Because nobody... And I this is one of those times where I cannot blame them for not suspecting anything.
Yeah.
Because she is just so smooth about it. You know what I mean? Like, she knows she's being real good of knowing when to keep her mouth shut and just exactly what she should add to the conversation. Nothing about her is suspicious. The only thing that's suspicious is that you should know her. That's all I can say. Like, that's the only thing you've got to go on is your history with her.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know? But her current behavior, there's absolutely nothing suspicious about it. Mm-hmm. And And of course, we know these kids never learn anything, don't remember anything. So, of course, they aren't going to be like, hey, but this is Ebony. We have a past. We know what she is capable of. Keep an eye on her. So I'm like, this works, you know, because they're idiots. And so she's not, her cleverness isn't because everybody else was dumbed down. They actually did the work so that she could slide into this and take advantage of this chaos in a believable way. And I was like, well done. I was like, go for it, Ebony. Take what you gotta get. Do what you gotta do. Let's shake this up. I'm bored. Let's go.
Pretty much, yeah.
All of this nonsense. I'm done. You know, it's like, okay. I'm excited to see what she's got planned. I even love the cleverness of putting Lex in that position. She chose the right person. She knew that, you know, bless Lex's heart. She knows his limitations, what he's capable of, what he's good at. And that this will be hot garbage. She knows that. But she also knows to flatter his ego, give him something to do. It's distracting. It puts the eyes on somebody else, you know, because an old Ebony would have definitely said, I'll be the sheriff. And then everybody would have been suspicious. Oh, it's a power grab. But she is being so careful to distance herself away from power and making it seem like everything she's doing is just, oh, well, if it's necessary, I'll do it. I don't want to be magistrate, but if you can't find anyone else to do it, I'll do it. You know what I mean? Like, she's being real clever about putting her hands up. Like, I don't want to be power. I don't want the power. Remember, I followed Bray through the whole rebellion. I'm not trying to take over. You know, I just want to make sure things get done. I'm being a team player.
Like, so smart.
So smart. If she's over Bray, I told you guys, I thought she was over Bray back in season 2. And then they just decided for season 3 to pull her into the Bramber crap. I never believed it. I was like, this is garbage. Okay. She was willing to leave him to die to the Chosen. And then out of the blue, she was in love with him again. So I think she was always over Bray. Right. They could finally, you know, like, yeah, she was only in love with Bray because Amber came back. That's the only reason she was in love with him again.
Right.
Because that's the conflict they wanted.
And I don't think she definitely like wants him dead or anything, but she wants him out of the way.
Yeah, just get out. You're,
you know, and he is that connection to her past, the only connection left to her.
if he could be in her life and not get in her way, she'd be fine with him.
Yeah, because she's got, you know, she does care about him in the sense that he's from the old life. They have a history together. I don't think she's in love with him and wants to have his babies.
Finally figured out, I don't even like this guy.
he's not even my type.
Yeah, it's just nostalgia that holds us together.
Exactly. Nobody can have him.
Yeah, what did she make of her conversation with Moz?
I loved it. That was a great scene. There's actually a lot of good scenes in this episode. The cinematography is great. The camera work. The shots feel very dynamic. You know, there's a lot of effort to give them sense of movement and energy and life. Yeah. So I really love that scene with her and Moz. I thought that was blocked very nicely, and Moz was fantastic, and I was giddy. I was excited. Yeah. Ooh, what are you two cooking up? What's the plan? And I think we got it confirmed that Moz, that's why she backs down for fights. She clearly can't fight.
Can't. Yeah, that's not what she does.
Ebony disarmed her in one move.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clearly that's why Moz is always backing down from fights. Unless that she and her girls can totally gangbusters one person like they did to Bray.
Yeah.
She's like, never mind, you know,
not doing it. Yeah.
She doesn't pick fights. She can't win.
Nope.
I'm made to look like a loser. Yeah. I really like that point of.
Because her reaction to Ebony besting her again in one move. Like,
yeah.
She didn't get a single one in there. Ebony was like, oh, no, talking is for people who have no choice. Like, oh.
Everybody That's out.
Checkmate. Lovely. Again, I'm just glad to see two female powerhouses.
Yeah.
Whose conflict isn't a guy. It's about power and ideology and how we gonna run this show. Like, yeah.
And we've not had that for so long.
We haven't. Like, oh yes, finally giving Ebony someone worth it to play off of.
Meanwhile, over in the city...
You know what I think? I think Bray's losing it. He's been ambushed by his own morality.
Find a man's strength, you also find his weakness.
You're talking about Amber? Yeah, well, I guess he's pretty cut up about that. But then it can't be easy for you either. I mean, we get Amber back and you end up with a broken heart. Assuming, that is, that Bray's still around. You know what I wonder, Pride? I wonder if you want us to find Bray alive or dead.
Yeah, what did you make of the rather pinpoint accurate assessment that Lex makes of Pride?
Beautiful.
Lex has been calling Pride out since the beginning. From the minute he found out that Pride and Amber were a couple, he has been trying to warn Bray. Yeah, he was being very pessimistic and it wasn't helpful for Bray. But Lex has been calling out Pride since the start.
Yeah.
You know, you're not everything you want people to think you are. We all have dark wants and desires. And this is what I think of you, buddy. This is what I think is going through your head. And yeah, right now, Bray's my bro. Okay. So I just want you to know I see you. So it was nice. It was a nice, astute observation for Lex.
Yeah.
And it didn't come out of nowhere because, again, he has always been suspicious. Pride's interest in Amber and what that would mean for Bray and constantly trying to warn him, dude. Like, do not discount that connection, man. He's going to be a problem for you. Let's murk him.
I mean, good on him to, you know, to use that, you know, to agree to be his deputy. I was like, okay, yeah, that's good. That's good. You see him and, you know, now he knows you see him.
That was nice. That was a nice move, Lex.
And
we can use our network of informants to get Amber back. He's like, oh, wait. Yes.
I love that scene between them. It's probably my favorite scene in the whole episode. Them walking through that train yard. It's so much energy and interaction with the surroundings. And it just feels alive. It feels like an actual place that they're walking through. And I just really appreciate that effort. Even the color grading, it looked great. Like somebody cared when they were framing that and the Steadicam pulling out on them. And them they were able to move around within the scene. Just well done. Loved it.
I mean, I didn't put it in the notes, but like, anyone had any thoughts about them entering the casino?
I guess, I guess it was fine. Like, you know, I thought it, that extra, that young woman, she made me giggle a little bit. Like,
what was she supposed to be there? I don't know.
I don't know.
Something. Person?
But there was something about her, that her performance, that made me giggle. It's like someone told her, you have 60 seconds. And she was like, make it count. I'm leaving my stamp. Because her performance is very campy, over the top.
Mm-hmm.
I have photos. Really? Like, what?
Do you know how?
Yeah. Oh. Sure. She's got photos of this guy giving information to the Chosen.
I just giggled at the way that she held on to Lex, like she was hiding behind him, but trying to act tough.
Again, I appreciated the continued lore of, I mean, granted, we could have used it during the Chosen occupation, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The continued lore of people who've worked with the Chosen, and that, you know, there, people have an opinion about it, you know? So we've already seen a Chosen who took up with Pony Joe's group. And he's now talked down to, because, you know, he's just happy that somebody didn't try to stone him, you know? And so I at least appreciate that, even though it's a little too late, you know?
Yeah.
It's a bare minimum of addressing the Chosen, but...
Before we get into it, does anyone want to talk about Ellie and Luke?
Well, maybe if you did something about it, instead of just moping around in here all day.
What? Go out? Is that what you want? Yeah. Maybe I'll take a nice stroll down one of the city streets or along the beach.
Don't!
I will only say that, once again, like, Luke, Ellie has done everything to try to make this relationship work with you. Every time she has made some suggestion that would make it possible for you to be together, for you to be safe, you have poo-pooed every single idea. She tells you to run away so the mob doesn't get you. I can't run away without you. She's not willing to leave with you, you know, which made perfect sense. And so you're like, no, you emotional blackmail her there. If you don't run away with me, I'm going to stay here and take my comeuppance and everything. I'm trapped in this mall. She's like, I need to get out. I just need to go for a walk. It's hard to be in here, especially with everybody giving me the side eye, and I feel bad about Jack. Let's go for a walk. I can't go with you for a walk, Ellie. Everyone, I'll be killed out there. We'll go in the woods. We'll take the back door. Please just take a walk with me, because you're supposed to be my boyfriend. Never mind. Go on your own. I'm so pathetic and lost, and why are you even with me? And she once again is constantly having to comfort him. Here he is. Now Ellie is like, you know what? I recognize I'm growing up. I'm seeing the reality of us having a relationship. And if we're to work, we can't be here. You'll never be accepted by my friends. I can't ask them to accept you, but I choose you. Let's run away together. And all of a sudden, no, I could never do that to you, Ellie. Oh my gosh. I'm not the right kind of guy to be with. You know, oh, is that what you want me to do? You want me to go out there and get killed? Like, oh my gosh.
It's so overdramatic.
Emotional abuse he is putting Ellie through. And it's and you know what it is? I do not want to assign malignant tendencies to Luke, but I think there's an argument that this sort of emotional seesawing that he keeps putting her through is a form of control.
Yeah.
He used to have control over Ellie as her prison guard, and he doesn't have any now. The only thing he can do is pull her by her heartstrings.
I 100% agree. 100%.
Yeah, there's no power play anymore.
You know, and this is how he can control her. So, yeah, that's what I think. And I'm getting tired of it because this girl gave up everything for you. She could not have made it, like, she couldn't have made a bigger statement that she chooses you. She loves you despite everything. Give a little back, Luke, okay?
Something, anything.
Anything.
She gave up her friends, almost her sister, you know, Jack.
Like, she saw the good guy you wanted her to see. You're so desperate for the whole world to see you're a great guy. And she saw it. So be it, Luke. Stop stringing her along and keeping her in the depths of despair every day. Cut it out. So that's what I have to say about them. I just want to be like, Ellie, run. Just run, sweetheart. I mean, granted, she has to go through this, but dude, you know, he is not worth the energy.
Mm-mm.
Nope, not at all.
I want Luke to own one of his decisions. Okay, you cannot be this committed to the dramatic decision, and then when you get what you wanted, still be bemoaning your fate. Stop it. Own your decisions. Own the fact that nobody owes you for forgiveness. You already said that. You seem to understand that. And yet here you are once again manipulating Ellie and saying, like, do you feel sorry for me? Do you think I feel sorry for myself? Yeah, I do, Luke. I think you feel really sorry for yourself. And you want the whole world to feel sorry for you, regardless of how many times you say, I deserve this, and I don't want anyone feeling pity for me. I'm like, then stop taking Ellie on this emotional merry-go-round all the time. You know, you clearly are having the biggest pity party for the choices you freaking made, man. That's the thing. Luke, you made every single one of these choices. You got yourself here. These are the consequences. It sucks, but freaking own it, dude. And stop dragging Ellie down with you. She is willing to work with you, dude.
Yeah, and, you know, it feels like, you know, one of those moments, like, if I can't be with you, then I'm just gonna, you know, I'm not gonna live anymore. It seems like it's that dramatic for Luke a lot of the time. There's no in between.
He's just very selfish. Like,
yes,
Ellie has given this all for you. Like, you tell me you can't even, like, what, make a little lunch dinner in the mall? Like, it's just something to, like, show your appreciation or your relationship apparently with her. Like, you can't do anything. Can't do even a simple thing, but sit there crying about your situation because it's all about you.
Be her freaking boyfriend, but that's not the reality he actually wants. He just wants to keep that control that he always had. I don't think it's conscious. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think he's like nefariously sitting there plotting in his head, like, how else can I control Ellie today? But it's clearly there in his behavior. This keeps control of Ellie. Notice she never went for that walk, you know?
No.
Even though she was desperate to get out of the mall, she's just chasing him around all day, worried about him all day, all the time, and constantly comforting him and an emotional mess. She can't even, like...
She still hasn't dealt with her own.
Right. She can't even, like, repair her relationship with her family because it all comes down to how they treat him, you know? It's always about him.
You know, Ned did more for Alice as a boyfriend than Luke has ever done for
him. Oh, that's bad. That's a bad bar. Jeez, Luke. That's awful.
Yeah.
That's really bad. I feel bad for Ellie. You know, this is a tough lesson to learn at such a young age.
It is. It is a tough. And I do feel bad in the sense that, yeah, it sucks. You know, this is the consequences to her actions as well. She's gotta figure out how to work through it.
And she's at least taking ownership of it. She's like, yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I'll give
her
that.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, this is what I chose. It's not going to be easy, but I'm trying every day to make it work with us. And he's just not giving her anything to work with.
No.
Yeah, and, you know, and she probably thinks that, you know, this is all for nothing. She's done all these things for absolutely nothing. For what? For him to just throw it back in her face.
And knowing Ellie, she probably just thinks, I'm not trying hard enough, you know?
Probably does think there's more that she should be doing when it's him this whole time.
Yeah.
She needs Alice there to tell her this is what's happening, and she doesn't have that.
But Alice is she's doing the exact same thing with Ned. You know, Ned takes out.
No, but season two Alice would be like, listen, this is what is happening. Tell him how it is. It's just, I'm sad that she's gone.
Ellie really needs her sister, but she's not there anymore.
It's okay. It's okay.
Well, Sling, he's unrideable, unsafe. Pride said so.
Oh, did he? You want a bet?
What? That I can ride him. Are you serious?
Well, I do it, or I give you anything you want.
Yeah, what'd you make of this little Apollo plot?
Aside from the weirdness of everybody suddenly always being outside in the backyard of the mall.
There was a backyard? I didn't even know.
There's a swing set, everything. Like, where does
this?
Okay. and they're always, they, like, it's just convenient that they keep convening in that area suddenly. Aside from that, I'm glad that they gave something else for Celine to do. She needs a focus. And I was actually feeling like, oh, this is a nice thing to learn about Celine. You know, that she could read the horse. She could sense what the horse had been through. Despite the fact she's not ever been established as a nature girl, you know, like you expect that from Pride, you know. But I also think it's pretty messed up when she shows more empathy for this animal than, say, like Pride did, who wrote the animal off entirely. You know, I just thought that was weird. He is someone who works with nature. And I get him recognizing that Apollo has been abused and likely will not let someone ride them. But he also didn't seem to have any other insight of how you deal with traumatized animals when you think he would have some insight. And so it was awfully interesting to have Celine be the one to come in and be like, this animal isn't completely broken. This animal has been hurt, but you can still get through to a hurt animal, you know? And I don't know why they made that choice, but I wasn't like upset by it, you know? Because Pride sort of treated it the way people used to treat Rottweilers and pit bulls and Doberman pincers. Oh, they're ruined. They're violent dogs. Only thing you can do is put them down. And those dogs had such a bad rep because of that, that nobody wanted them. Nobody wanted to rehome them. Nobody wanted to retrain them because it was just believed they were broken animals if they had an abusive youth. And, you know, it takes a kind heart to recognize these are dogs that still require love and that you can get through to them. It just takes a lot of time and patience. And so for Celine to be the one to recognize that and not the tree hugger, it's just surprised me.
Well, maybe Pride just got it, was getting a kick out of the fact that Casey was probably out something, you know, out something important to get this horse. And now he can't even ride him. Like, I have to wonder if it wasn't just that he thought it was funny.
Or could be the writers forgot who Pride is supposed to be.
Yes.
That too.
That, you know, yeah, that's possible as well. And this is a way to give Celine something else, a little bit more to her character, I guess, by letting her be the one.
I mean, they turn Pride into a jealous simp. And you're like, wait, that is not how you establish this guy. Who is he? You know, he's just as petty as any of the other mall rats. That's not how he was introduced, you know. I just think you've messed up when Celine comes across as more compassionate than Pride. You know, like, you really dropped the ball with him.
Maybe Celine's only compassionate with animals. Like, she does, like, the people, it's a different, because they can talk back and really form their own opinions. Animals, not so much, right? They can form their own opinions, but they're still going to do what she needs them to do. I don't know. Maybe she just gets better with animals.
She's not suddenly Chloe.
Maybe she is, and we just didn't know it.
This tidbit does just feel like it comes out of nowhere, because, like, we've just all of Celine's past that we've known, that we've been given so far, it doesn't scream that she ever was around or had horses. Like, it's just, it is weird, and does seem to be setting up just because of what happens. But I mean, it's nice because it's something new for Celine, so I mean, I didn't mind it.
Argue that it's still in line with her narcissistic traits. I mean, it's the same as her taking care of the children. It wasn't always, it wasn't really always for them. It was for how it made her feel.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of her compassion was because it made her feel like a better person. And again, we have to remember that not all narcissistic deeds are inherently evil or terrible. It's really just about you're the center of the world and everything comes back to you, you know, the way you might treat your children. They are a reflection of you. And as long as they're falling in line to what you visioned, you could be the best parent ever to them as a narcissist. It's only when they stray outside the lines, you may start having trouble with them because they no longer reflect the reality you have painted for yourself as a narcissist. So you could argue that her desire to help this horse is just as much another thing that comes back to, I need to do this for me. Maybe not so much about the horse. You know what I'm saying?
Possible, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I just want to put it out there. I'm only diagnosing her because she's a fictional character. I would never do this with a real human being that I don't know. I don't have a degree. She's a fake person.
She's not qualified.
Right? So I don't mind diagnosing fictional characters.
So during this whole episode, we see glimpses of Bray, who'd been left for dead by the mosquitoes.
Your name? What is it?
Moon. And yours?
Where am I?
My tribe moved from place to place, shoeing horses and trading where we can. This is our camp. You've been here nearly 3 days. Do you have people?
No people. Just a traveler.
A traveler with troubles, then. Someone tried to get rid of you, you know.
So yeah, what did you make of the mosquitoes having left Bray for dead and obviously the dynamics with the horse traders?
He definitely earned that from the way he's been treating them. So they were due. Hey, I'm sorry. Like, the things he's done to them.
Oh,
like,
my God!
I don't feel bad that they beat him up. Like,
not just beat him up, like, for dead. He was in the bottom of a ravine.
They threw him off a cliff.
Consequences, man.
Oh, wow.
That being said, I do feel bad for
Tell Circle.
The place he's in. You know what I mean? Like, I understand why he, like, went out and got himself into the situation. And I am sorry he's there. Not sorry he got his butt kicked by people who had every right to kick his butt. And yeah, leave him for dead. Whatevs, you know?
Why just his butt?
He was available.
There were so many.
Look, he assaulted them, okay? Several times. Broke into their home, accused them of all kinds of things, held them with no evidence of any crime. He was asking for that ass kicking. So.
I agree if you're an ass kicking, but not for dead.
Yeah, like, bro, they were like, nah, he's a goner, we're good. Let's pretend like nothing happened.
They beat him to a pulp, threw him off a ravine. His leg was, like, spooled out.
Like, he looked dead.
He did.
He did. Hey, maybe he'll learn now. There are people you just don't mess with. Don't start nothing, there won't be nothing.
Oh, wow.
He started this, and they finished it, okay?
That escalated.
How many times do you need someone to assault you before you say that's it?
What's
that's
that
it.
Word? Proportional justice. That wasn't proportional.
Again, watch who you mess with. You don't know. You don't know what someone else's day is like, man. Don't start. You don't know what you're gonna get.
He was inebriated. That's the worst. He couldn't even defend himself.
Yeah, sucks. Quite a pickle you got yourself into.
I mean, in one way, that probably saved him from a lot of the pain, but yeah. Ooh.
Probably saved him from injury, because he was probably very limber.
That's fine. Except that, kind of, he didn't deserve to almost die.
I didn't say he deserved to almost die. I said you need to be careful who you pick in fights with. You got to. And he was picking them fights, all right?
Yeah.
Maz and her girls were like, ooh, opportunity. He ain't breaking into our place and doing that to us again.
Did they really think that they were going to get away with it, though? I mean, I guess so. They threw him in a ravine.
Well.
How'd they know that someone was going to find him?
No, they thought he was dead. They left him for dead.
Oh, my gosh.
Also, it's the mall rats. Are you really worried about retribution? Come on.
Oh, yeah. Pretty much.
You can't do anything.
Give me a break.
I could go sit in a cage and get 3 meals a day.
Yep. The mall rats proved they were soft. Why would you be worried as a Mozzie about them coming back after
you're
you?
You're right.
They let Luke go free. The guardian is living his best life in the cage. Like, come
his
on.
Best life.
They haven't prosecuted any other chosen, so I wouldn't be worried. I'd be like, oh, come at me. Whatever. I don't even have to show up at your court of law. It means nothing to me. I'd be like, we had a trial. Like, what can I say? We put him on trial for his crimes against us. I thought we were all allowed to do that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. There was a trial. There was a jury. He was found guilty.
Hope you learned your lesson, Bray. You lived again. Let's learn something from this. Let's learn something from this.
Stop running away when Amber disappears.
They were only there for like 5 minutes of overall screen time, but we got quite a lot of dynamics between the horse traders, Pony Joe and Moon. What did you make of them?
It makes me worried for Moon. Pony Joe
is... Absolutely, Pony Joe.
Oh, there's something just unsettlingly aggressive about him and the way he talks to her. Like, this is the way you talk to the woman you want to be with? No wonder she don't want to be with
me
you.
Out.
Man, I'm like, girl, I think she was trapped. Blink. She clearly needs help. I mean, why do you think she latches on to Bray the way she does, you know?
Right.
Like, she's looking for an out. Please, somebody rescue me.
Take me with you.
I need a shelter.
Like, desperate to escape.
Yep.
Blink twice.
He's scary. I wouldn't want to be trapped in a tribe with that guy.
No.
I feel like there's nowhere I can go, you know what I mean?
I mean, they just let chosen members in, like, nothing.
Not true.
And they mistreat their horses, apparently.
Yeah. And think it's funny.
Yeah. No. Pony Joe can go. Pony Joe should have been at the bottom of that ravine, okay?
Yeah.
They should have just grabbed him and threw him off right there. Just eated him off the cliff.
I wonder about that scene where Bray, you know, comes to, says she's beautiful, then basically passes back out, and then later tells her that he doesn't have a tribe, he's just a wanderer. I'm wondering how much of that is protecting himself.
Yeah.
Or either running away from his reality.
Yeah.
You know?
Probably both. You know, a mixture of both of them.
I was pondering this question because I was going to propose it to you both. Yeah, I think he's a mixture of both. I think part of him has accepted that he ain't going to see Amber again. Like, they're gone. So it's partly that, but also partly protecting himself because he doesn't know who these people really are. That's what he gives us.
Yeah, himself and the tribe.
Yeah, he's like, oh, no, I'm just a traveler. So, it's, yeah, but it's, I think it's definitely a play on both.
Which is probably the smartest move he's ever made.
Yeah.
Especially considering he almost just died.
And he's concussed. Like, yeah, that's a smart move.
Isn't this like his 10th concussion?
He doesn't remember. Maybe he has amnesia.
He's a better person now. That was smart.
Guy's had like a dozen TBIs. You know what I mean? Like, seriously.
This is bad.
This is really a smart move. Yeah, you do. You need a CAT scan. I am concerned. Like, how much do you remember, Ray? How you got into this mess? Oh, boy. I do like the way Dwayne's playing it. I think he's playing it with just the right amount of shame and yet still just utter desolation. Like, he's embarrassed at his behavior, but at the same time, it's like, what else am I to do? You know, I have nothing. I've lost everything. And I literally can't crawl out of this hole to see any light. You know, I am just here. And while I wish I hadn't behaved the way I did, there's nothing for it. I have nothing, you know. And I thought Dwayne pulled that off really well.
Yeah.
That just that tiny hint of caution. And maybe he does feel like he's no one and has no one. If he truly believes that he's never going to see Amber again or his child, like this future that they were going to have together. Maybe he does actually feel, I don't got people. I'm just a wanderer. I got nothing, you know?
Yeah.
I'm nobody. I don't want to be anybody without her, without that. Sick of trying. I'm tired.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Now it's Moon's lucky she escapes. Like she does. Clutches of the brave.
Yeah, like Moon, I get it. Trust me, it's a black hole for every woman who's involved with Bray.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. You thought Pony Joe was bad. It's not Bray's fault. I'm just saying that will be
his fate. No, it's not. It's not. Yeah, yeah. Like, it's not his fault. He's not intentionally doing this, but he will drag you down.
It just happens. It's in the stars. You know, the gods cursed him. So.
And Sabine couldn't be here today, but I will read out her comment. She says, clearly, dark haired women in white are Bray's go to when he thinks Amber is lost to him forever.
Exactly. Yes.
Oh man.
Not wrong.
Come on, that can't be a coincidence. Come
it's
on.
Not, it's not. There's no way. The white lines on her forehead and everything.
I was wondering about that when Sabine brought it up. But like, that must have been a conscious choice, right? Like,
yeah,
it had to have been.
It's reminiscent of Dany's braid across her forehead. Just the fact, it's hard to find hair that dark, okay? And that texture and everything. So, I mean, what are the odds that he is found once more right after he feels he's lost Amber by a young woman with these specific looks wearing this specific color? Come on! Like,
yeah, no, there's no way.
How do you...
Is there like a story you were missing in his?
Yes! Like... I'm like... I remember thinking, this should have been Dany, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I was just about to say, was this supposed to be Dany?
And
she's like, I've been caught or started over in a new, like...
Give them some freaking closure. Maybe somebody actually had that as a plan, but for whatever reason, you know, it didn't work out with Ella, and so somebody decided to play at the, I don't know, the image, you know, bring it back, you know?
I think it's so coincidence that obviously we get that scene at the end when he's taken away by the technos, and guess who's there? It's Moon again. Like, was it supposed to be Dany? Like, it's just odd.
I think that was just lazy. They didn't have any shots of Dwayne, so they were like, let's just replay this. Yeah, let's just use this one.
It might have, yeah.
Yeah.
Such a cool idea, yeah. If it was Dany.
I mean, if it was meant to pay homage to her, kudos. I actually do appreciate them paying homage to it, because what are the chances that he would end up like that? But I can't believe it was an accident. Like, how little do you have to care about your own series for that to be an accident?
Yeah.
Come on.
Okay, cool. That brings us to our final thoughts of the episode.
You asked for something special. I hope she likes it.
Oh, she will. I'm sure she will. That's just for starters, right?
Of course.
I want to see plenty more of this, Ebony. Plenty.
Oh, believe me, Ned, you will. But hey, hey, hey,
patience, okay? All good things come to those who wait.
I'll wait, but only so long.
I mean, Panel, this is, I'm not gonna lie, this annoyed me. Like, he gets a simple ring from Ebony, and like, we're supposed to believe that this former slave trader can't get his hands on any goods. Like, what do you make of this whole arrangement and story?
I don't think he is an actual former slave trader. I think Pride was his first, and it didn't pan out well. I think they saw him, and he was like, all right, let's give this a shot. And
what? I buy that. I totally buy that. He'd seen people trading slaves, you know, he'd been aware of it. And then Pride fell into the lap, and he was like, I'm going to give it a go, you know? I'm going to try it. And he's terrible at it immediately. Negotiations completely fall flat as soon as they start. So, yeah, maybe he doesn't have any real experience doing it. He tells Alice himself that he's all bravado, you know, he talks a big game. So, and I mean, we haven't seen Ned use a single skill.
Nothing.
Of any sort in the time we've known him. He's just all bluster. That's all he is. His only skill as, I guess, love bombing someone into thinking he's a decent person. I don't know. Like, that seems to be it. And so, yeah, maybe he wouldn't be able to go out there and find anything. He wouldn't even know where to go to do it. He likes to pretend he can, but it doesn't make any sense that
he's all talk.
He'd need her to do this. When, if he wants to get Alice a simple trinket, like, you couldn't have worked out how to do that on your own. You need her, you know, like, come on. Wouldn't you expect something bigger from her? Like, seriously, it's dude.
Like, really? This is what you can't get? Like, for real?
Did you see the...
Andy and Tally can get this for you.
Yeah, like, did you see the picnic Casey was able to put together for the two of you within
hours? Yes! Oh, thought of what Alice put together for him and then that breakfast.
She created a vacation spot for the two of them.
Yes, it was beautiful.
And he doesn't even ask for anything specific from Ebony. Just, I want something for Alice. Like, it could be anything, a t-shirt. Like, dude, put some thought into this. You couldn't do something for yourself to get her something. Convince us that you actually love her and are desperate to keep her. And it's like, do something that does service to the acting job that Nevin is giving this. Because the way, Bevan, he is playing it. Like, he is desperate. Like, I do love this woman. She makes me feel these things. Like, that moment with them in the woods, which, gorgeous picturesque shot, by the way. Absolutely gorgeous. And look at Bevan when he's about to try and confess to Alice what she makes him feel before the bee, you know, disrupts his train of thought. He is selling his love for this girl, but nothing they've written for him to do is complimenting it, you know? And so it's like, they could have used the scene to really show what he's willing to do for her, but it keeps falling flat. And I guess I just like that he thinks he has the upper hand with Ebony. Like, dude, has it ever occurred to you that she could literally just, if she gets annoyed at you, she could just tell everybody what you did and very easily sell you down the river? Like, she will spin a tale. And they'll
believe her. She was just trying to gain control of the situation to get them back.
Or even just deny how long she's known. You know what I mean? She can do it. Right. And like, why are you acting like you've got control? You know? I do love the idea of the Guardian just sitting in the cage listening to this all this conspiring. Like, oh, wow.
These guys.
Wow.
And they thought was bad.
Jeez.
Butchers.
Can somebody change my diaper, please?
Oh, God. I mean, I do appreciate that at least the whole farm angle gives Ned something to be doing for actually holding the Guardian. It gives an actual reason behind actually the whole extortion angle. That actually makes sense now, that he was going to help rebuild the farm for Alice. So at least it's something.
Wish that had always been his goal. Yeah. Like, not the farm specifically, but that his goal with kidnapping the girls so that they would trade the Guardian was always because he wanted to get some big score out of it, rather than his hatred of the Guardian that doesn't make any sense, his wanting justice or him just wanting revenge. None of that made sense as a motive for Ned. And it was very clear he didn't know what he was going to do with the Guardian in the first place, because Evan even asked, what were you planning on getting out of this? And he doesn't even have an answer. So we're denied motivation for this action. And now he does have something he wants, but it's like, he should have always had a big score he wanted. And it's like, oh, his love for Alice, he's changed his mind as to what the big score is he wants. Before, it was something for him, something selfish or whatever. Like, that could show some character growth for Ned. Like, in the beginning, he was like, I'm going to trade the Guardian and make my life better, blah, blah, blah. But now that he knows this is something Alice wants, he's willing to trade his big score just to make her happy. That could have been something they did, but they didn't. So
that is not how it happened.
Nope.
What is with that ring? I'm sorry. That golden green ring. At least she loves it.
Yeah. But then again, she also
loves it. That's all that matters.
She loved breakfast. So clearly.
Did she know, or was she just trying to make him feel better?
Like,
he was oblivious. He didn't even care. He didn't even care that it was bad. So he had to have loved it. That's sad.
He was trying his best.
His best sucks. I don't want his best.
His best is not good.
He can keep his best. No thanks. Oh, you know what I really hate? There's this one moment where he is telling her how much she's changed him. Okay. And I just remember thinking, if you want me to believe this, then maybe you should have written him as feeling remorseful or conflicted over his actions. Maybe reluctant to continue doing this with Ebony, because Alice has made him think about things in a different way. And so it just comes across as though it's just BS that he's feeding her, because he doesn't act like somebody whose heart has been changed in any way by Alice's influence.
Nope.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe Alice liked the ring because it often signifies a form of commitment. You know?
Maybe.
Like, oh, wow. That's how serious he is. He gave me a ring, you know?
Yeah.
Rings are so important. Doesn't matter if it's, you know, some people would argue it's butt ugly. It's
a ring pop.
A sign.
It's a ring pop.
It is.
At least it's my favorite flavor.
It's complimentary, though. You know, the green looks really pretty with her hair.
Eh.
It's a decent episode overall. Like, I do feel there was effort put into this episode. Like, the script,
yeah.
The acting, camera work, composition of shots. You know, they didn't just spit this one out at us.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's like, what's happening feels the good Lord. Could we end our suffering, please?
Almost there.
Oh, close.
There, and I literally keep thinking of like, oh crap, there's a bunch of stuff I don't care about to come up. We still have to get through it.
Same.
Oh, what is it? What is it? We got 10 more episodes? 9?
9? Yeah, I can't believe the amount we're going to of things that just happened.
I know.
Why did you rush it to the end?
Because this is what they do.
We had so many episodes of nothing, and now we're going to get some massive big changes all thrown at us all at once. It's like, wow, thanks, guys.
It'll end is like a fruitcake where you just like shove everything off your counter into the batter. Oh, dense as a brick. Like, ay, ay, ay.
Ooh, wow, yeah.
You got nothing accomplished, and now you want to get everything accomplished in no time. No time at all.
And then to the future.
Literally.
Oh, man. Literally. let's just etch-a-sketch this out. And it's a shame, because I think if these storylines had been parsed out more evenly through season 3, this would be a much more solid season. That wouldn't feel like agony. And it wouldn't feel like they're literally two different seasons. Somebody had posted on here about, I don't know if it was you, Maggie, was saying your boyfriend is on one episode in the earlier part of season 3.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you're way here. And it's like, you're not even watching the same season.
No. He had no context whatsoever.
None. He's no idea what's to come.
Yeah, it's pretty great, actually. I don't feel sorry for it.
I wonder, are we actually finally reaching a level of bad where it won't dip any worse?
Oh.
Like, have we reached the lowest part of how bad the season can be? Or is it, do you think...
Of this season.
Of this season? Like, or...
Ooh.
Oh, no. No, I'm sorry. I just realized Amber coming back, fully showing is...
Yeah.
Takes it lower for me.
Bam, yeah. She's popped.
Like, wait, you were gone
corset,
for...
Corset, you know.
You girls were gone for a week. Like, what the frick? What are you growing in there, Amber? Because that is not a human baby.
It is not Brain's baby.
My memory of these last few episodes is very poor, so I've got no context there.
Oh, she's not been in the last two episodes.
Like, when you count the last one, you count the days that she and Trudy are missing.
Can't be that long, yeah.
Through these last nine episodes before she comes back, and you're like, wait, what? They're trying to tell me 3 months went by? Get out of here!
That's crazy.
She has a tumor. That is not a child.
No wonder Bray's gone insane.
It's like that god-awful scene in Prometheus. Get it out of her! It's not a baby. It's not a baby.
It's not real.
That brings Series 3, Episode 43 to a close. Thank you very much to our panel, Liz and Maggie. And if you'd like to take part in a future episode of the podcast, or to even send us a message, you can contact us via our website, Facebook, or Instagram. Just search for thetribe.co.uk or Conversations on Eagle Mountain. So we'll see you next time for episode 44. Until then, bye.
Bye.
Bye.